I'm Rachel Otwell. This month marks a year since the Me Too movement went viral, and we're hearing from women in Illinois about what has changed so far and what they say is ahead. Today, a conversation with State Senator Toy Hutchinson, a Democrat from the Chicago area. A measure she sponsored was signed into law earlier this year. It seals the criminal records of survivors of human trafficking. Hutchinson begins by telling us how much she thinks the Me Too movement has changed things.
On one hand, I think a lot of people are talking about it. And on the female side of the spectrum, we're all talking about it. We're talking about how it's so out in the open and pervasive, and that people are sharing stories now that sometimes, you know, they hadn't thought about in years. I think one of the things that was striking about when it did first start, when it first started bubbling up, especially in the Capitol, there were so many women that I talked to who were like, I had forgotten all about that, because you realize how long you just smile, push it away, and keep it moving when you're trying to work. So the thing that's been interesting throughout all this is how triggering it's been, like people remembering past instances. And when you start looking at that in the aggregate, it is sometimes hard to put yourself in a space where you constantly want to talk about this. And then on the other side, whenever there is a movement or a social change that's on the brink of happening, there is also the commiserate backlash. So you also have the people who think everything is fine the way it is right now, and instinctively and reflexively act against that. So I think we're seeing that now with, you know, the jokes about the hashtag him too, and our current president talking about how it's a dangerous time for men right now. So I think we're living in this era where it's pervasive, and we're talking about it all over the place, and it is moving folks to do real change. But at the same time, we have to make sure that it's not just a headline, it's not just a hashtag, it's not just a flash in the pan moment that won't last beyond when we get to be interviewed about it on the radio.
And you're part of the Senate Sexual Discrimination and Harassment Awareness and Prevention Task Force. That's a long name. The House has a similar task force. There's an independent panel we've talked to a couple members of. Any major wins so far?
Okay, number one, the first win was that we didn't have a legislative inspector general. So when this all first started happening, there were so many people who did not even realize that we did not have in place a legislative inspector general. They also didn't realize that the ethics code that we all deal with and has been in existence for decades did not include sexual harassment as an express violation of the ethics code. So the very first thing, so even if you had reported it, one, where were you supposed to go? And two, if you reported it, sexual harassment wasn't an express violation. So those are what we kind of refer to as the low-hanging fruit. Then you have to look at the various complexities of what happens in the Capitol. If you're a state employee, it's different than if you're a contract employee, where there is no HR, there is no The agency that oversees all that would be the Secretary of State. You know, that's who holds your lobby license. And then there's the big elephant in the room, which is the elected official. And you can't fire an elected official. Only voters can do that. So how do you handle when the person who is misbehaving or doing something wrong is a person that's like in an elected seat? And all of those things operate in and around each other. So when people ask me, is this one of those times when, you know, like we throw together a task force and put a nice ribbon on it and see what, you know, is this just something that kind of tides us, makes us think that we're doing something, but we're really not really changing anything? I always point out the fact that none of this is going to go away tomorrow. And no matter how prolific this movement gets, we're not living in a changed world right now. I wake up every day and I wish there was no more racism. And I understand that I'm a student in the civil rights history we have and the civil rights movement we're in right now. But I wish there was no more racism. But there is every single day. And I have to get up every single day and try to do what I can from a policy standpoint, what I can from just a human being standpoint to make this little corner of my world better because I was here, hopefully. It's the same thing as it relates to sexual harassment and sexual assault. We are talking about deeply ingrained cultural practices that have been here forever. And it's going to take a lot, and it's going to take years, really, to move it. And that's evidenced by the fact that for decades we've heard about the pay gap issue. We still have it. For decades, we've heard about not having as many opportunities to advance, and especially for those of us that live in the intersection where racist behavior can be sexualized and sexist behavior can be racialized. There's a lot of work that we have to do, and it's not going to be legislated away in 1 year. So I'm proud of it, and I'm committed to it. It's hard, but it's worth it.
And I wanted to ask about race. We know that Tarana Burke started the Me Too movement in 2006, and it wasn't until the Harvey Weinstein allegations came to a more public light through reporting that Hollywood actresses really kind of took the movement to the extent that it went viral to where we're talking about it a year later right now. You're a woman of color. Do you feel like women of color are being adequately represented and listened to within this movement?
Not always. No, not always. But that's also why I'm in it. I recognize that from where I sit and where I stand right now, I have a responsibility to give voice and to give color to that. So no, we aren't always listened to. No, we do have some significant strides to do within the women's movement to make sure that it's inclusive and carries with it the weight of all the voices that are a part of it. That is 100% as accurate today as it was in the 70s. But again, if I saw that and felt like that that's just the way it was going, then it made even more sense to me that I do all that I could to jump in and try to help where I could and also give voice and experience and help and love to all of this from a perspective that is unique to me and women who look like me.
And so you had a measure that was signed into law this year, just a couple months ago, I think, and it would allow victims of human trafficking to seal their criminal records. And the aim is to help them, you know, with a fresh start. Do you feel like there's a place for survivors of human trafficking within the Me Too movement?
Absolutely. The trauma that happens with that and the stigma that is still attached to that. And that's actually a really good segue into following up on what you just asked me. There's so many instances where people think that human trafficking is just an Eastern European problem. Like it's the quote unquote mail order bride. And they don't realize how pervasive it is in the United States, across major cities, in rural areas. We also very rarely see a face that is a woman of color. And the statistics on that are heartbreaking. There are a number of things as it relates to trauma and African-American women and other women of color where there is a palpable feeling that our pain and our trauma is not heard. It's not talked about. We're not allowed to discuss it. And so I get involved in these kinds of movements specifically to point out those things. I remember a case a while ago where they broke up a ring and the youngest person that they rescued was 13 years old, a 13-year-old African-American girl. We're not the ones who end up on milk cartons and we don't get national news stories when we go missing. Very different than what happens with white women. So those things, we have to call attention to it. And I hope that when we do measures like that, like stealing records for human trafficking, it is so that you can start over again. One, you can't be a victim and a criminal at the same time. So if, in order to rebuild your life, everything from having the branded tattoos that were put on them removed to being able to seal their record. I also passed a measure that if you could demonstrate that you were a victim of human trafficking, that you could vacate your felony prostitution conviction. All of those things are designed to make it so that the web of things that are pulled together to make it so you can't move on with your life are a little easier to deal with. They don't go away. And it's an extremely difficult and painful thing to recover from. But from a policy standpoint, these are the least things that we could do. Now we need to get more funding. Now we need to get more beds. Now we need to get even more assistance with law enforcement and for people to understand and see what's happening when it's in front of them. There's a lot of work to be done. But in this movement, as we talk about women's empowerment and knowing our place and speaking up for our joys, our struggles, our pain, our triumphs, all of those things that make us all human beings, all real flesh and blood human beings in our totality, we all need to tell these stories. This Me Too moment right now has become this big basket that allows all these stories to go into. We just have to make sure that people can hear them and see them. And then when they do hear them, find some moment or some way to identify with someone who you may not know and you never met and you may live in different places and sound different and not talk the same and not have any of the same experiences. But know that across this city, across the state, across the world, the unique experiences of being a woman from whatever position you're in are a lot alike. We've all been through a lot of things that as we tell these stories and as these faces get connected to these stories, I think that's the only way we can work towards real change.